You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. My website is crosstheborder.org. You'll find a link there for the archives of the most recent programs, and you'll find Bible studies there. I also have some topical programs. If you go to the link that says most recent programs, you'll find that there. We're kind of rearranging everything, and we'll get everything to one server soon. But you know, I don't know. That's like number 30 on the list of things I have to do, and my list is very long. So anyway, today we're going through the book of Judges and talking about the tendencies of mankind, how we see it demonstrated here in the scripture, and how it continues on, that man keeps repeating history over and over and over again. It seems that mankind will never learn, because it's just the nature of man to do what mankind does when they leave off their creator, or when they have prosperity and peace for a while. They tend to, somehow give the credit to themselves for that, and start raising themselves up in their own eyes, and as if somehow they're responsible even for creating themselves. Yes, and they do foolish things like, say my father was a monkey and I descended from an ape, just so they can ignore their creator. Nonsense. Anyway, leaving off in Judges here. So he slew all his brethren except for one, notwithstanding Jotham, or Jothan, which means Yahuwah is perfect, or our creator is perfect by name. He hid himself, and the men of Shechem gathered together. All the house of Milo went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. So he is now the king of Shechem, right? And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood at the top of Mount Gerizim, and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, "Hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you." Now you have a bold young man here. First he has to hide because he has a mercenary army led by Abimelech, slaying and all of his brethren, every single one of them, he being the only one left. And now he's going to stand up on top of the mount and lift up his voice, and he cries unto them, and he says, "Hearken unto me, you men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you." The trees went forth, you have to listen to what he says here. You have a young man who seems to be full of wisdom, or at least the Holy Spirit speaking through him. Listen to what he says. "The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, 'Reign thou over us.' But the olive tree said to them, 'Should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees?' And the trees said to the fig tree, 'Come thou and reign over us.' But the fig tree said unto them, 'Should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to be promoted over the trees?' Then said the trees unto the vine, 'Come thou and reign over us.' And the vine said unto them, 'Should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees?' Then said all the trees unto the bramble, 'Come thou and reign over us.' And the bramble said unto the trees, 'If in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now therefore, if you have done truly and sincerely in that you have made Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands, for my father fought for you and adventured his life far, and delivered you out of the hands of Midian. And you are risen up against my father's house this day, and have slain his sons, 70 persons upon one stone, and have made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king, over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother. If you then have dealt truly and sincerely with Zerubbabel and with his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Milo, and let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech. Then Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech, his brother. When Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. You know how those pagans, they always get along, don't they? Yes, it's because they have such love for one another. And the love of God reigns in their hearts, not. I see it demonstrated all around us every day. The ungodly can't get along. They have no love. They don't have real love for one another. They may have be after the same things and after the same spirit, but they can't get along very well for long. So God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, that the cruelty done to the 70 sons of Zerubbabel might come, and their blood be laid upon Abimelech, their brother, which slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, which aided him in the killing of his brethren. And the men of Shechem sent liers in wait for him in the top of the mountains. And they robbed all that came along that way by them. And it was told to Abimelech. Yes, aren't these the guys you want for your neighbors? They send thieves to lie in wait in the tops of the mountain for anyone to pass by so they can steal from them. So they robbed all that came along by that way by them. And it was told to Abimelech. You know, that kind of reminds me of those policy enforcers out there in the highway, you know, lying in wait. Excuse me for laughing. It's really not funny. It's just the parallels because, you know, we're talking about government here. I mean, isn't Abimelech the king, and aren't these his princes or his noblemen that rule with him? So they sent policy enforcers, we'll just put it that way, in the mountains to rob all that came along that way by them. And because that's what they do. That's what why it reminded me of the policy enforcers out there in their little cars with their little lights on them that start flashing when you become their target. And, you know, and I know that our Heavenly Father, he said that the civil government there is there to punish evildoers. And they do that job, but they've gone beyond the scope of their authority under the King of Heaven, because they punish people that do good or don't do any harm and are not evildoers also. And I thank the Heavenly Father for looking out for me and for those of us that are traveling around out there, minding our own business, needing the covering of our Heavenly Father so that we don't get trapped in their net. Okay, enough said about that. So they robbed all that came along that way by them, and it was told Abimelech. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his brethren and went over to Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. And they went out into the fields and gathered their vineyards and trod in the grapes and made merry and went to the house of their god and did eat and drink and cursed Abimelech. Yes, they all got drunk and started cursing Abimelech. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, "Who is Abimelech? And who is Shechem, that we should serve him? Is not he the son of Zerubbabel? And Zebul, his officer, serves the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem? For why should we serve him? And would to God that his people were under my hand, then would I remove Abimelech." And he said to Abimelech, "Increase thine army and come out." And when Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled. And he sent messengers unto Abimelech privily, saying, Behold, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his brethren are come to Shechem, and behold, they fortify the city against thee. Now therefore, up by night, thou and the people that is with thee, and lie in wait in the field. And it shall be in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, thou shalt rise early and set upon the city, and behold, when he and the people that is with him come out against thee, then mayest thou do unto them as thou shalt find occasion. And Abimelech rose up, and all the people that were with him by night, they laid in wait against Shechem in four companies. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out and stood in the entering of the gate of the city, and Abimelech rose up, and the people that were with him, from lying in wait. And when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebal, Behold, there are come people down from the top of the mountains. And Zebal said unto him, Thou seest the shadow of the mountain as if they were men. And you're just seeing things. It's not really there. Something like that. And Gaal spoke again and said, See, there come people down by the middle of the land, and another company come along by the plain of Meonanim. Then said Zebal unto him, Where is now thy mouth wherewith thou saidest, Who is Abimelech that we should serve him? Is not this the people that thou hast despised? Go out, I pray now, and fight with them. And Gaal went out before the men of Shechem, and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him, and many were overthrown and wounded, even unto the entering of the gate. And Abimelech dwelt at Arumah, and Zebal thrust out Gaal and his brethren, that they should not dwell in Shechem. And it came to pass on the morrow that the people went out into the field, and they told Abimelech. And he took the people, and divided them into three companies, and laid wait in the field, and looked, and behold, the people were come forth out of the city, and he rose up against them, and smote them. And Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward, and stood in the entering of the gate of the city, and the two other companies ran upon all the people that were in the field, and slew them. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he took the city, and slew the people that were therein, and beat down the city, and sowed upon it with salt. And when all the men of the tower of Shechem heard that, they entered into the hold of the house of the god Berith. And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. And Abimelech got him to the Mount Zalmon, he and all the people that were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand, and cut down a bow from the trees, and took it, and laid it upon his shoulder, and said unto the people that were with him, What you have seen me do, make haste and do as I have done. And all the people likewise cut down every man his bow, and followed Abimelech, and they put them to the hold, and set the hold on fire upon them, so that all the men of the tower of Shechem died, also about 1,000 men and women. And Abimelech went to Thebez, and encamped against Thebez, and took it. But there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women, and all they of the city, and shut it to them, and they got them up to the top of the tower. So Abimelech came to the tower and fought against it, and he went hard into the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman cast a piece of millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to broke his skull. And he called hastily unto the young man, his armor-bearer, and he said unto him, Draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, A woman slew me, him. And his young man thrust him through, and he died. Well, it sounds like a woman slew him to me. And the young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man to his own place. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did, unto his father in slaying his 70 brethren. And all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their heads, and upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal, or the son of Gideon. Judges chapter 10 and verse 1. And after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Puah, and the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar. And he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamir. See, Israel was not to have a king. And Abimelech, well, I guess Abimelech would have been the first king in Israel. Of course, he was only made king by Shechem. But unfortunately, it looks like he had a sway over Israel. So we had a man, a judge, rise up in 23 years. And after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. And he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts, and they had 30 cities, which are called Havoth Jair unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Kamon. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim and Ashtaroth, the gods of Syria. And there we have it again, Baal serving Baal, and Ashtaroth. The same gods are being served today, well, practically throughout the world. Of course, they had Ashtaroth Sunday here just not too long ago. And of course, they do that one every year. I mean, now they're calling it because the world hates anything biblical. They mistakenly believe that Ashtaroth or Easter is a biblical holiday, because the churches, the corporate churches out there, have embraced pagan idolatry so fully that the world now thinks that it's a godly thing, and they're throwing it off because they think it's godly. If the world only knew, you know, they would embrace Ashtaroth Sunday, that is Easter Sunday, rather than converting it into spring break or whatever they call it, a spring holiday, or you know, all these alternative things. And then you have all the Christians crying, it's all right, it's okay to say Merry Christmas, but only if they were saying Merry Christ's death, it's okay to say that? Well, I don't know. Show me that one in the Bible. And see, they've embraced pagan idolatry so fully that they really believe it's biblical, and they believe it and embraced it so fully that even the world believes it's biblical, and now the world wants to throw it off because they hate everything godly and even everything that they mistakenly believe is godly. That's the turn of things and events, the ignorance of society, and even the corporate church world out there is astounding to me. But, you know, what can I say? I grew up going to the pagan public school system, and I watched all the movies, and, you know, I was indoctrinated in all the same ignorance and lies and brainwashing. So I understand how they can be so dumb, because I was so dumb. It's time to awake. Especially all of you that, you know, that good people out there in the world and in churchianity, caught up in all these lies, believing them, defending lies. You know, like going around wearing a button saying it's okay to say Merry Christ's death, because that's what Christmas means. It's Christ's death. Merry Christ's death. That comes out of the Catholic Church, and that embraces their pagan idolatry. And because the Mass is the celebration of Christ's death as represented by the little cookie, you know, the little white wafer, the little rice cake that they use and they dip into wine, and, you know, in the transubstantiation, this becomes Christ. That's why he's still hanging on the cross in the Catholic churches, because they keep putting him to death over and over and over again. And that's what you're celebrating when you say, it's okay to say Merry Christmas, Merry Christ's death. You're just being Catholic. That's all. You join the mother. Yeah, that's right. We're no longer protesting. We are now evangelical ecumenicals. That's right. We've joined the one world religion. Yes, and it embraces Judaism, and it embraces, and it's all going to come together. And I was thinking about this in the Temple Mount and the rebuilding of the temple. I'll bet you I know. I have a good idea of what's really going to happen. Here's what's going to happen on the Temple Mount. They're going to leave the Dome of the Rock. Yes, they are. They're going to build a cathedral and a synagogue on the Temple Mount, so that they can bring all the religions together. I mean, they're already all coming together. They're all on the Pope's calendar. They're all following the Pope's Sabbath days, you know, the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They're already coming together. They're already talking together. Already all of the ecumenical evangelical churches are embracing the Pope. And you should have seen, you know, these people when the Pope came to America, and they were all, you had the white boys dancing like black men in front of the Pope, and they're singing all their songs, and all the evangelicals are wandering after the Pope and up there in his robes and stuff. And oh, what a beautiful sight. It's all coming together. That's right. It's all coming together. Going to unite them all. And the Pope is going to be the head. I mean, you know, he does wear the yarmulke, you know, so he's kind of Jewish. And he does wear the cloak of the scripture and the name of Jesus Christ. So he's kind of Christian. And, of course, everyone who does their research will discover that Catholicism created Islam. So, you know, he is kind of Islamic. You know, the Islams, they venerate all the same people and the Virgin Mary, you know, the mother of God, and they venerate all of the Jesus as a man and whatever, not as the Son of God, but yeah, they still venerate him. And of course, they have Moses as their father too, the Ishmaelites. See, they could all come together on the mount there. So I'm kind of thinking about this, and you know, I kind of think that in addition to the mosque, we're going to have a cathedral. Of course, it's going to be a Catholic cathedral, and they're going to have a synagogue. I'm like, what? That's the answer. Isn't that the answer to bringing all the religions of the world together? They can't let the Jews build the temple up there and start slaughtering animals on the Temple Mount. I mean, what a bloody mess, man. You know, it's kind of, what's that all about? And what about all of the, you know, all of the meat packing houses already existing in Israel? You're going to put them out of business? Come on. And those priests, they don't want to do that bloody business. It's much cleaner the way their religion is now. Come on, think about it. There are too many problems there. And that's not going to unite the world. That's probably going to start a, you know, that'll destroy the Temple Mount faster than anything. No, I'm thinking cathedral and synagogue next to the Dome of the Mosque or Dome of the Rock or whatever that thing is called up there now. I don't know. Think about it for a while. I've been thinking about it. And that's what I come up with. Anyway, we've got far afield of judges. Sometimes I think these things and I just have to share them with people. And here we go. We're going into a break. So you're listening to Cross the Border. And do stay tuned and return after the news.